We're going to talk about anger. We're told to be angry and sin not. Interesting. So it doesn't say never be angry, but it says be angry and sin not. When you get angry, don't sin. And if you do, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger has this way of absolutely disarming us and robbing us of our testimony before the world. Not only that, it can injure relationships. So it's time that if we're struggling with this, that we need to get a grip of that and bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ. Learn how to handle this, because God has given each one of us as believers the tools to overcome this. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then anger is one of your problems. Solution is Christ. Starts off with Christ. And then the power that he gives you in that new life in Christ can give you the ability to overcome and bring it under control and bring it to the cross. Be angry, but sin not. I'd like you to take your scriptures this morning and turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to talk about anger. I doubt anybody has ever had that problem here, but I just thought that I'd speak to the choir today. I got angry this week. You ever get so frustrated at a certain point, frustration turns to anger? We've been having this thing with FedEx and UPS. And FedEx and UPS used to deliver to the back of the church. And you got to understand, we have three doors here. We have the parsonage, we have church deliveries, and then we have Pastor Rich and Sarah there in the annex. And so I can understand them getting confused. And eventually, everything was ending up on my doorstep. I mean, big boxes that I'd have to get the van over to put, repack, and deliver back here to the church and whatever. So finally, I said, it's done. You know, we're going to have them deliver everything centrally here to the church. Well, to get that to happen is a little more difficult than you would think. And so we, as we're doing our new soundboard here, we had to get some parts. And so I did order them. Still haven't come yet. But anyways, we ordered them. And because I have big signs. I mean, they are literally 8.5 by 11 signs on the the kitchen door, the front door of the church, and then I have another one of the parsonage, and then in the back door here, I have a sign if you need a signature, and there's an arrow pointing to where they can go and get a signature if they need a signature, because they can drop the packages there or get a signature. They cannot figure this out. I have been going 2 weeks now, waiting for three packages to come in. And so far, I got two of the three. Finally, I was able, they never delivered them. I had to go to the checkout point, and the other one's lost someplace now. And I can feel that pressure, though, rising up. They can't get it, and I get so frustrated and again angry because I was thinking, well, we want to have the system working. You know, the hearing impaired wants to hear. We have the other items. And finally, I said, Lord, this is almost humorous. I finally had to give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, you can work this out far better than we can. And so I just had to lay it at his feet. But I could feel that pressure rising. I think my blood pressure went up during that time. We're told to be angry and sin not. Interesting. So it doesn't say never be angry, but it says be angry and sin not. When you get angry, don't sin. Don't let that get to a point where it's sin. There's a point where there's good, right? There's reasons to be angry at certain things where there's righteousness. Other types of angers may be all kinds of wrong, and we're going to be looking at. Be angry and sin not. And if you do, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Interesting, and I don't want to end there because there's just one little, the next verse says, neither give place to the devil, because he would love to get a hold of that part of it too. Really cause problems. Anger has this way of absolutely disarming us and robbing us of our testimony before the world. Not only that, it can injure relationships, friend relationships. It can injure our children, our spouses, and it can cause tremendous amount of harm. So it's time that if we're struggling with this, that we need to get a grip of that and bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ. Learn how to handle this, because God has given each one of us as believers, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given you the tools to overcome this. Or at least to bring it under control so that it will not be explosive and cause the damage and to bring healing. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then anger is one of your problems. Solution is Christ. Starts off with Christ. And then the power that he gives you in that new life in Christ can give you the ability to overcome and bring it under control and bring it to the cross. You know, some people do the craziest things when they lose their temper. How many have ever had toddlers? And all of a sudden, you know, for no reason whatsoever, they throw themselves on the floor. And because they didn't get their way, right? And they're angry. And they go crazy. Well, my kids never did that. Actually, the first time that happened, we were, I know I don't want to reshare a story, but the first time that ever happened, we had a young pastor in the family. They did not have kids yet. They were newly married, and we just had, Betty Ann was pregnant with Amy, and David was real young, and David decided to have his day at the temper tantrum. And it wasn't so, it was off in the distance. I'm standing there, Betty Ann standing next to me, and the couples, and David comes between us and throws himself on the floor and has his temper tantrum. First time, like, oh, what do we do? And so, I mean, that's anger, though. You don't have to teach your kids sin. You really do not have to teach them sin. And then your teen, when they lose control. Some of you have had teens where they've lost control and don't understand. Or the young mother with preschoolers. And it's frustration, and then eventually compounded with frustration, and then eventually there's anger and screaming that comes as a result of that. Or men driving to work or gals driving to work. How many have ever been cut off by an angry driver or chased by an angry driver because they've lost control? We live in a culture and a society because there's less of Christ in it. We're seeing more and more anger outbursts that are occurring all around us. And they not only they become explosive, not just the anger and the gestures that come, and you can tell that they're screaming at you through the windshield of the car when they whatever took place, but then they can lead to murder. It is horrible, some of the things that can happen because of anger. Funk and Wagnall's Standard Desk Dictionary, Volume 1, says anger is this, a feeling of sudden and strong displeasure and an antagonized, directed against some cause of assumed wrong or injury. Webster Dictionary says it's a strong feeling of displeasure, usually it's opposition of conflicting forces, tendency, or this principle of just rage. Okay. But the Bible is interesting what the Bible says. Because when we look at it, it seems to be a passion that God has allowed us to have. It's part of his character. God gets angry. Ever notice that? We can have an angry God. Well, God is without sin. And yet God can get angry and still sin not. And so anger is something that we have been given, being made in the image of God, and it is something that we can go, and there are right times to be angry, and it needs to be controlled so we won't go over this line to sin. And we need to learn how to control it in a biblical way. It needs to be used properly. I'll go back to my UPS and FedEx. You know what the anger gave me? It gave me energy to call FedEx and UPS and to politely, because you wanted to yell at the innocent person at the other end of the line. Do you ever get to that point? You know, it's their fault. No, it's not their fault. It's the driver's. So we confused them miserably, you know, and it's what we did. And to politely deal with the problem. But it gave the energy to pick up the phone to deal with the problem, to get these things straightened out. I mean, that's why God gave you anger sometimes, is so you'll have the energy to deal with the problem. Let me give you some biblical thoughts here. I want you to go to the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, because we need to more what anger really is in Scripture so that we will understand what's happening to us when we do get angry. And, you know, again, you're made in the image of God. God does, you know, anger is part of an emotion of being human. You know, God has made us in his image, but part of our makeup and the way we've made, and yet we need to understand it so we won't go over into sin. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 says this: "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding." In other words, we can control it. You know, slow that builds up to that point where there's anger. Slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty, well, you just get hasty with your anger. You just explode for no reason or whatever you feel offended. Well, that's wrong. He says, "He that is hasty in spirit exalteth folly." So if we lose control of our anger, it's folly according to God. There's foolishness. You're a fool when that happens, acting like a fool. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to keep you in Proverbs. But in Ecclesiastes, you know, Solomon was talking about it. And he says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." In other words, don't rush to be angry. "For anger resteth in the bosom of fools." And so it's a manifestation of someone who is absolutely foolish, who has lost control of their life and in the control of their demeanor. And it's in an ungodly way. Go to chapter 15, verse 1. It says something else about anger here. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger." We just got a little clue here. If you want to deal with someone who's angry at you, don't raise your voice to them. Give a soft answer, not a hard one. And then he also gives another little clue here. He says, "But grievous words." If you want it to escalate and turn into a nuclear war, respond with grievous words. And I'll tell you, so the choice is us. Do you understand? God places within our hands. Do we want to be controlled by the Spirit of God? Or do we want to be controlled by the emotions that we have and fire them up? You can drop down to verse 18. Notice what he says here. He says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." You know, you ever see people that are angry? I mean, sometimes you may meet them at work, or you may see them around, or hopefully it's not anyone here. An angry person just walks around and they're angry all the time. I mean, it is just because they never got it dealt with at the cross. But if we're slow to anger, it appeases other wrath around. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, just one more here. Anger can be stirred up is the point that the scripture is talking about in this passage. Proverbs 30 verse 33 says this: "Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter." Now, I recognize we don't churn. How many of you have churned any milk into butter recently? If you've been to Sturbridge Village, they have it this long broom-shaped thing, and they have, it's a little cylindrical kind of wood, and they put the the milk and they turn it like this, you know, and eventually it thickens and it turns into butter. And so the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And so, in other words, we can enrage other people. In fact, some people find pleasure in that. They just want to stir it up. And they want to antagonize another person. It's like wringing their nose. You know, I'm going to really get some anxious out of this. Well, you know, that's where it's turned to sin. Anger can stir up. You know, and in fact, it gets so bad. It says in Proverbs 19:19. He says, a man of great wrath, when you meet that guy out there, this man of great wrath, Proverbs 19:19, shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, thou shalt must do it again. In other words, people that have this out of control anger, and they haven't dealt with this out of control anger, you're going to rescue once, you're going to end up going out, and you're going to be rescuing them all over again. Also says that it's a signpost of pride. So if you have an anger problem, one of the things is it's proud. He says, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Pride will be one of the problems that kind of fuels. They say, I'm right, my way, and you're not doing it my way or whatever. And so it's pride can be there. Anger can also be cruel. It says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. It's cruel to the kids. It's cruel to the person that you're angry at. In fact, people use anger to punish people. They find great pleasure in that. But we also know that anger can be controlled. Now, I want you to understand something about this. If you have anger issues, you also understand that anger can kill you. Let me say that. Do you realize that out of control anger and continual anger, it's linked to all kinds of physical ailments. It literally changes your body chemistry. And with this change of the, and a continual abuse of the body with anger can kill you. It can bring high cholesterol. Proven. It brings hives and eczema. It can create runny noses. It increases and aggravates asthma. It brings about, in some cases, diarrhea or constipation, one or the other. So it will affect intestinal problems. It brings about nausea and vomiting in some people, and ulcers actually form because people are continually in anger. Migraine headaches have been attributed to anger out of control, high blood pressure, and heart problems. So, I mean, not only we want to punish someone else or get angry at someone else, we walk around in continual anger, we're actually killing ourselves while we're doing it too. So the stages that Scripture describes is it starts off with that feeling of that rising anger. It gets in there and you're frustrated. You ever notice what happens? You get short when that happens. Start kind of moving things around kind of fast. We kind of storm, stomp. Some people stomp. You know, that's the expression of anger as you're feeling. Well, if it goes too long, eventually you have this feel you need to respond. And now the response, anger is the feeling. But the response has another word in Scripture. When it's responding and you're aggravating someone else, the Scripture calls that wrath. And if it really gets really loud, where you're on the verge of losing control, it's called fury. And then when you lose control totally, where you forget what you're doing, you just totally lose control, it's called rage. So let's go back to our passage here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I think we defined then anger and the need. You know, we all, if any and all of us are honest, there are times where we get angry, some more than others, but we don't want to cause harm. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, It says, be angry and sin not. So there will be times that it's okay to be angry. We're not to give place to the devil. But listen, in cases where, you know, when your kids disobey and lie, it's okay to be angry. No, but it's not okay to be out of control. God gave you that energy now to deal with it in the right way so that you'll deal with the problem. Because you ever see someone and your kids are out of control and the mom or dad is just sitting there and the kids are just going screaming out of control. And you're walking in the room and you see this and it continues and continues and the other person's just kind of looking at the lights and just saying, what are you thinking? Deal with your kids, right? God gives us energy to get up and to deal with the problem. And that's why it's there. It's just a natural thing. And if it's used in the right way, it can be used constructively. Anger is not necessarily, therefore, sinful. Psalm 2, verse 5 says this. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. This is God disciplining people. He says, and it's Psalm 2 is what I just quoted. And so God gets angry, and when he speaks to them, he speaks to them in anger. You know, you're wrong. And he vexed them with this sore displeasure because there's discipline that is motivated that brings about with the people. Ultimately, if they continue to resist, you know, God gets more aggressive. Psalm 2 again says this, kiss the son lest he be angry. In other words, please the Lord. You know, and in fact, it even goes on. He says, kiss the son lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Don't push God, is what he's saying. Don't push mom and dad, kids. You know, don't push other people around. You know, listen, your anger needs to be under control. Yes, anger is a right thing, but it has to be under the biblical boundaries. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 2, verse 13. Gospel of John chapter 2. Let me give you an illustration of righteous anger. John chapter 2, verse 13. It says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he saw the problem. Did he explode right away? He went back. I'm going to fix this. He made a scourge of small cords. And then it says here, verse 15, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Did Jesus sin? No, he did not. He was displaying righteous anger. He was dealing with the sin issues that was out of control in the temple. You know what these guys were doing? They were ripping off the people, making profit on the sacrifices and causing, charging, doing gouging, you know, price gouging is what they were doing in this passage. And then after he cast them out, he said unto them, verse 16, that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. He used the energy that God, you know, the natural energy that God has given, and he dealt with the sin problem that was there in a planned and measured way. That's how we're to use anger. Anger, ultimately, then, must have some safeguards. Don't let your son go down in your wrath. Don't prolong your anger. You know, those are the things that are given. There are things called righteous anger, just as we just displayed here. But it's not just in this passage. Let me read from Exodus 32. This is Moses. It says, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp. This is Moses coming off the mount. He came nigh into camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire. And he used that energy to deal with their sin, took the calf, threw it into the fire. God, we're going to fix this. And that's what he did. And he fixed it with the people. So he used righteous anger, and he used that anger to go and to deal with the problem. And then when he dealt with the problem, listen, it wasn't this kind of thing that was raging out of control and doing all kinds of foolish things. It was a righteous kind of. So there's a time for righteous anger in dealing with the problem. You know, it's okay to get righteously angry at your kids and discipline them. That's okay. But don't get out of control with that. It's not wrong. It's wrong when we abuse that. And then it becomes sin. Don't let your sin get out of control, or your anger get out of control. Anger, therefore, can be misused if we're not careful. So go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Seven things that can help you. I'm going to give them to you quickly. Seven things that can help you with your anger. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Bring it to Christ. Very simple. It's a simple step. Step one, bring it to Christ. He says here, Paul is saying, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, he's saying, listen, I now have surrendered my life. The life that I live now is for Christ. And the life you're living for Christ isn't going to allow you to get sin out of control or anger out of control, and you're going to bring control in it. And so bring your issue, the anger, to Christ. You know, when I got angry at FedEx, I mean, I can feel that it was moving from this feeling a mild warm and moving papers around quickly. I had to bow my head and I had to say, Lord, I'm getting angry, and I know I have to deal with it. I don't want to scream at the person at the other end of the phone because it's not their fault. They're innocent people. And these other guys, we probably confuse them anyways because they can't figure out, you know, we have six doors they can go to. And so probably confuse them. Lord, let me deal with this in the right way. I mean, I had to pray, man, because I wasn't feeling that way. My feelings told me to do something else. Bring it to Christ. And then confront, second thing is confront the issue. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Confront and deal with the issue. If there's something making you angry, don't wait until you're ready to explode and rip heads out and poke out eyes. If you got there, you waited way too long. When you see there's a problem, deal with it. That's why he gave you that little feeling of anger in the first place. And the dealing with it is to say something. You know, what are you doing? But you can do it in the right way. Bring it to Christ. When you see the problem arising, deal with it. You know, confront it. Confront it biblically. Third thing is ignore the petty disagreements. Let me quote scripture. The discretion of the man deferreth his anger. It is his glory to pass over a transgression. If you go after everything, you're going to be going forever after every little thing that doesn't go exactly the way you want. Listen, the discretion of a man is to defer his anger. And his glory is to pass over indiscretions that happen, transgressions. Sometimes it's okay to just let it go because, you know, there's just little things. Don't go after all the petty things. Boy, okay, they'll call you petty if you start doing that. Fourth thing, refrain from close association with angry people because scripture says this, make no friendships with the angry man. Be careful. Boy, you start having people that are angry as your friends all around. Eventually, you know what you're going to find? You're going to start acting like them. You don't want that. You know, he says, make no friendship with angry men, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Scripture tells us not to do those things. Fifth thing, check your tongue. Leave it at the door. That's what Proverbs 21 says, verse 23. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. So the next time you want to explode in anger, stop. Close your mouth and lift your eyes to the Lord and say, Lord, before I speak, give me wisdom. That's what we're to do. So close and check your tongue. Keep a close check on your tongue. Sixth thing, cultivate honest communication. Because if you're communicating, I'll tell you what, it will shut down a lot of the anger. He's like in Proverbs 4, Ephesians 4, verse 25 says this, wherefore put away lying, speaking every man with truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In other words, speak truthfully. You know, a lot of times when we're communicating with those people that are near us, it solves a lot of problems. I have found sometimes I've been really angry. I mean, really deadly angry. It's on, I can't believe they did this. And my, thank God for my wife. And she'll say, well, you know what? We need to understand the other side. We need to talk. All right. So I either call or I talk to them. And it's amazing. I never saw it the other side, the other way. And how it diffuses, like there was never an explosion because we just communicated with it and I found out what was happening on the other side. Oh, now I understand what was happening. And resolve before any issues. Last thing. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Because without Christ and without his filling and without his moving of his spirit in our lives, I'll tell you what, we will be a people just like this world, allowing things to get under control. We're to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, when we put these things in place and we can control those motions and bring them to the foot of Christ and allow him to take control of our lives in this way, boy, what great differences it makes in marriages. What great difference it makes in our kids, with our workplace, with those around us. Be angry, but sin not. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, I am so thankful for what you have given, even the instructions in your word, so that we can, even with the characteristics you have given us as men and women, that, Father, we have you that we can turn to, not only for wisdom, but also for power to overcome the things and the issues of the flesh, so that we may be able to magnify you in everything that we do. May we be a people that will magnify your name in everything. And we thank you for this now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.